This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. In the debates and on the campaign trail, John McCain has repeatedly called out his opponent for earmarking federal funds. And one he has singled out a number of times is this.
He voted for nearly $1 billion in pork barrel earmark projects, including, by the way, $3 million for an overhead projector at a planetarium in Chicago, Illinois. My friends, do we need to spend that kind of money?
The planetarium in question is one of the world's most famous. It is the Adler in Chicago. And the request for a $3 million overhead projector? What's that all about? Well, here with some straight talk are my guests. Paul Knappenberger is president of the Adler Planetarium in Chicago. He requested the money for the projector. Jim Schweitzer has worked at the Hayden Planetarium in New York and consulted on many other science centers as the principal of science communications consultants. He joins us from WBEZ in Chicago. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you, Ira.
Paul, what kind of projector, so-called overhead projector, are we talking about here?
Well, let's clear that up from the beginning. It's not an overhead projector. I think most people recognize that an overhead projector is a device used primarily by classroom teachers in a classroom to project a page from a book or a grease pencil drawn on a piece of acetate diagram up onto a screen in a classroom. I don't think they make overhead projectors that cost $3 million. Probably not even $300. What we requested was a planetarium projection system to replace the 40-year-old system that has been installed at the Adler since the late 60s.
You mean that giant machine we all see when we go to the planetarium?
That giant machine that sits in the center of the room.
Right.
The one we presently have was made by the Zeiss Optical Company in Germany. And to replace it with an equivalent system in today's market prices ranges between $3 million and $5 million, depending on the different features that you opt to get on the system. We've gotten 40 years of use out of our old system, and it's time to replace it. New York Hayden Planetarium had a similar system, which it replaced a few years ago, and Griffith out in L.A. also replaced their system recently.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised by this attack?
We were. Yeah, we were very surprised. We had gone to talk to our Illinois congressional delegation about the need that we have. It's a $10 million theater makeover, so we're going to replace not only the projection system, but the sound system, the controls, the overhead dome, the seating, the heating and air conditioning. Everything in the theater needs replacing. So it's going to cost us about $10 million to do that work. And we're raising money from the private sector. We've raised a little over $4 million to date towards that $10 million goal. And we've got requests into the city, the state, and the federal government.
Mm-hmm. Jim Schweitzer, how would that compare with other planetaria? Planetaria, is that correct, the plural?
Well, I tend to stay away from the Latin, that's for sure. I think Paul's numbers are right on the mark. This is a major planetarium. It's the first planetarium in the Western Hemisphere. Incidentally, it's the planetarium where I learned actually on this particular projector. But around the world, when you get to large theaters like this, maybe 23 meters in diameter or so, you're talking this kind of money, and there are many that need renovation. I just finished working on the new planetarium in California, the California Academy of Sciences in San Francisco, where the old one was lost to an earthquake. So these numbers are entirely reasonable, and Paul has a great place, and this really needs people's support.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do if you don't have the funding that you're looking for?
Well, we'll continue our fundraising efforts until we're successful at getting the dollars. I know several people since McCain made his remarks have ask why the federal government should help pay for a planetarium projection system in Chicago. I think the answer is fairly simple. About 58% of our visitors each year come from outside the state of Illinois. In fact, they come from every state of the union. So the Adler, as is true of Hayden in New York and Griffith in L.A., serve a national audience. We serve people from every state in the union.
You would not. Yeah, go ahead.
And so, you know, if you have a $10 million cost to renew a theater every 40 years, it's reasonable to assume that some of those funds would come from outside of the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Right. Paul, did you want to jump in there?
Yeah, I mean, Paul makes a really good point about the national nature, certainly of a large metropolitan area, but also the benefits are national for a place like this. You know, in my work, I encounter space scientists and engineers all over the country, in fact, all over the world, mm-hmm. and many of them have been inspired by planetariums. And the Adler, by virtue of the years it's been in business, has inspired many, many, including John Grunsfeld, who is actually the chief scientist at NASA now in charge of repairing the Space Hubble telescope. He actually was inspired at the Adler Planetarium. So our planetariums, really, they're our bridge to the universe.
Yeah.
They're every man's bridge to the universe, and they're absolutely essential. And the things they do benefit the science and technological infrastructure of this country and help keep it competitive.
Mm-hmm. As Rudy Schwartzman in Second Life says, people in big cities like me need planetariums. How else can we see stars?
Right.
Absolutely.
It's oftentimes the first introduction that many young students have to a really dark night sky. Mm-hmm. They, growing up in an urban area, just don't see a dark sky and the richness of the stars and planets that are visible if you get away from those city lights.
Of all the things, of all the things you could pick to pick on for earmarks, to single out as a wasteful earmark, a planetarium, where you know, where part of your campaign talks about science and technology and the need to grow it, a planetarium I would think would be the last thing.
Right, it's amazing. I did the numbers because I think a lot of people don't understand the numbers. Even if you took all earmarks in the country and compared those to the federal budget, it would be like the cost of pinstripes on your car if you bought a car. So are you going to try to, if you want to avoid, be able to afford a car, you're going to avoid putting the pinstripes on? And the Adler's earmark is basically about one millionth of the federal budget. And, you know, it goes beyond just even seeing the stars from an urban landscape. Planetariums now, especially digital planetariums, like a lot of the ones I work on, actually allow us to look back at the Earth and also put the Earth into a cosmic context. Mm-hmm. So these are the places where we learn to see the world as the astronauts saw. When they went to the moon, you know, the biggest thing they saw was that they had discovered the Earth. And so in a time when we need to come together and see the Earth as one species and people with common problems, the planetariums are absolutely the winning card.
So you're talking about pennies per person, pennies per child.
And Ira, I guess the thing that surprised me the most about Senator McCain's remarks is it's been well documented by studies done by the National Research Council and others that there's a real crisis in math and science education in the United States. The accomplishments of U.S. students in math and science continue to decline when compared to those students from other countries. And so we now have as a national priority an effort to improve student performance in math and sciences. And planetariums around the country are responding to this by working very closely with their local schools to provide inspiration to the students, as well as the kind of information that Jim was just talking about from results of space exploration and new discoveries that are being made daily.
We talk about remaining competitive with the rest of the world. Did China not just spend a lot of money on a big planetarium in Beijing?
Yeah, I was over there. We partnered with the Beijing Planetarium and Sesame Workshop to create a new planetarium show for younger children, ages 4 to 6, to introduce them to the night sky using Sesame Street characters, Big Bird and Elmo and Hu Hu Shu, who is a Chinese Muppet, and use the night sky as a bridge for American children to understand something about Chinese culture. And the Chinese version of the show introduces American culture to Chinese children. And that planetarium that's running that there in Beijing was completely renovated and updated at a far higher cost, by the way, than what we're proposing here. And that was all paid for by the Chinese government in anticipation of the Olympics this summer.
You hear so many scientists talking about the planetarium is where they got their first interest in science. Neil deGrasse Tyson of the Hayden Planetarium says, you know, he's a kid in the Bronx and he used to come down and just look at the sky. And it was a great stimulus for him to go on to be a scientist.
Yeah, and you can cite numerous examples where that's the case. So that's what was such a great surprise, that of all of the, you know, is the earmark system a good system to distribute taxpayers' dollars back to their home community? That's a debate that's going on in Congress. Are there abuses of that system? Yeah, there probably are. By and large, it's proven to be a very workable system, and one that, you know, who better knows the needs of the local community than the congressmen who are elected by the folks that live there? So I think, you know, attacking the entire earmark system and then using an example from something that directly benefits math and science education just seems quite strange.
Jim, any last comment on that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Paul really understands a lot of this quite well. I also serve on several of the panels, and I understand the federal science funding agencies. And what a lot of people don't know is that math science education funding has really gone down quite a bit over the last couple decades. And we spend far less on it than a lot of other countries and have to put together, renovate places like this with a lot of private and foundation money. Not that that's bad, essentially, but it does connect with other things, and actually it's hurting us generally. There's, I think, more large planetarium activity going on outside of the country, just as Paul indicated. And, you know, to a certain extent, mm-hmm. the number, you know, and I also had, talking about the Hayden, I worked on that project, and I remember a woman coming out of the show. This is not just children, this is adults, who was actually crying because she said she had to make something out of her life. It was such a powerful experience. I think we all need the perspective that these bridges to the universe give us. And to a certain extent, the number of planetariums we build, the number of planetariums we renovate, and we have many to renovate, are to a certain extent the market index of our investment in our future as a scientific nation.
I run out of time with two Joe the Planetarium guys on this hour. Paul Knappenberger is president of the Adler Planetarium in Chicago. Jim Schweitzer has worked on many planetariums around the country and principal of science communications consultants. Thank you both for taking time to be with us.
Thank you, Ira.
You're welcome, Ira.
We're going to talk about creativity and innovation later in the hour, and then coming up with genes. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.